You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the government announced this week that it'll update the Equal Pay Act to make it easier for women to file pay claims with their employers for equal pay, rather than having to go through the courts, and also it will assist employers in addressing those claims. I spoke with Minister for Workplace Relations, Michael Woodhouse, about the update. What is the system that's currently in place, and what are these changes this pay equity update will bring into place?
Well, presently, the only vehicle an applicant has is to go to the employment court under Section 9 of the Equal Pay Act and argue that they are not being paid what they're worth. Now, it was thought that the Equal Pay Act was just for men and women getting the same value, but the Court of Appeal 2 years ago broadened the definition of that to include equal pay for work of equal value. So in response to that, and recognising that there wasn't a lot of vehicles and processes available to parties to negotiate in that context, we set up the Joint Working Group, asked them to recommend both the principles and the process that could be followed, and that's what we've agreed to this week.
Right, I see. Now, it's my understanding that that doesn't just cover kind of dollar-for-dollar pay equity for the same work, but it actually looks at the historical undervaluation and devaluation of feminised work. Are you able to tell me a bit about that?
Well, firstly, the really important principle is that if there are two, say, for example, care and support workers, because that was the initial application, working side by side, one is a man, one is a woman, then clearly the Equal Pay Act requires that they be paid the same amount. But what the Court of Appeal decision said was, if a care and support worker, predominantly a female industry, historically undervalued in their view, has a valid comparison with, say, I don't know, a social worker or a mental health worker, then, and there is a higher salary being paid for that other role, then they may have a valid pay equity claim. So it just really broadens out the scope, and in our view, rightly so.
I see. So what was the process of getting that update in place? You said you put together that joint workers.
Yeah, and they've recommended some principles that could apply. Firstly, for assessing whether a claim is valid. That's important. Not every female-dominated industry is going to have a valid pay equity claim, so there needs to be an entry criteria. Secondly, there needs to be a set of principles that will guide the parties in how to establish the degree of difference, if you like. Now, that's not very prescriptive. It may be a different formula for different situations. And in order to give effect to that, it will be necessary for the government to amend the Equal Pay Act and the Employment Relations Act. So I'll be bringing some legislation to the House, I hope, in the first half of next year.
Cool. And I know Labor had a similar policy. They passed it back in 1990, but then Nationals scrapped that. Why has it taken another, 26 years to get this one into action?
Well, I think what the parties 26 years ago thought, and rightly so in my view, was that the labour market is a market like others. And that is, you know, the ability to negotiate the right terms and condition of employment and to move to other employment if you think you're being undervalued is an important principle in bargaining. And the last thing we want is bargaining to be regularly influenced by the courts and government. But it has also now acknowledged that in some industries, particularly where there is a single dominant funder, for example, government, that the market might not work as well as it should. It needs better, clearer parameters for being able to address those inequities, and that's what we've been putting in place.
Absolutely. And so once this is all official, how would someone go about making a claim?
Well, anybody or their union can make a claim to their employer that they are that they have a valid pay equity claim. They need to establish three things. Firstly, that the industry or occupation is female-dominated. Secondly, that there's been an era of historical undervaluation. And thirdly, that undervaluation persists today and can't be remedied by the normal bargaining processes. So it's a pretty reasonably high bar to cross. But once that's been accepted, then negotiations would continue to remedy that inequity with the use of comparators. Now, what we have said is, if you're in one industry, look within that industry to find a valid comparison and objectively assess the difference. If you can't find a valid comparison in your industry, then go outside the industry and maybe go to a slightly more distant occupation, which nevertheless would need an objective assessment of the value of the role. Those values include things like the skills you need, the amount of responsibility, the risks of you getting that job wrong and the consequences of that, and a number of other measures. Now, a lot of people have said, oh, gosh, that sounds like a really, really hard task, and it isn't that easy. But we do this for things like executive recruitment, where there are points-based assessments of the value of a role, and what I expect is that there will be tools developed to guide the parties to these negotiations.
Right. So what is the next step in the process of getting these changes underway?
Right. So we're going to take the principals, and the people who draft the bills are going to be working with MB officials to get the definitions right and to articulate those principles into words on a bill. Now, that is easier said than done, actually. We want to make sure that we get this right. The amending legislation will be introduced into the House next year, and interested parties will have an opportunity to submit on the proposed changes. And I'm not sure, I'm pretty confident we won't be able to get the bill passed before next year's election, but I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get it through after the election and close to the end of next year.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.